PageTurners.com podcast. The goal of these podcasts is to strengthen you and equip you to live a normal Christian life and a normal church life, that you might be one whom God can use to turn this age. My name is Ricky Acosta, and today we continue our fellowship in the line that we call Flee and Pursue. And with today's episode, we will say more concerning the matter of baptism. Baptism is a wonderful reality in the spiritual life. As we mentioned last time, there are very few items in the New Testament that the Lord emphasizes in the physical realm, and baptism is one of them. We all should experience the physical water baptism so that we might enjoy its rich spiritual significance. And the matter of baptism is significant in so many areas. In the New Testament, it mentions that we are baptized into four things: into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, that is, into the triune God. We're baptized into Christ. We're baptized into the death of Christ. And we're also baptized into the body of Christ. Isn't this wonderful, brothers and sisters? We are in the triune God. We are in Christ and in his death. And we are in the body. That is the result of our baptism. I'd like to touch upon these four points briefly. In Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Here we see, brothers and sisters, that we are baptized into the triune God. We are actually put into the triune God. That is the first significance of our baptism. And in the Recovery Version of the New Testament, there is a wonderful note concerning the matter of baptism. This is note 3 with verse 19. That is Matthew 28, 19, note 3. And I'll start somewhere in the middle of the note. It says, "This baptism has two aspects, the visible aspect by water and the invisible aspect by the Holy Spirit. The visible aspect is the expression, the testimony of the invisible aspect, whereas the invisible aspect is the reality of the visible aspect. Without the invisible baptism of the Spirit, the visible baptism by water is vain. And without the visible baptism by water, the invisible baptism by the Spirit is abstract and impractical. Both are needed." Not long after the Lord charged the disciples with this baptism, he baptized them and the entire church in the Holy Spirit, the Jewish part on the day of Pentecost, and the Gentile part in the house of Cornelius. Then, based on this, the disciples baptized the new converts not only into water, but also into the death of Christ, that's in Romans 6, into Christ himself, in Galatians 3, into the triune God, as we see here in Matthew chapter 28, and into the body of Christ, in 1 Corinthians 12. The water, signifying the death of Christ with his burial, may be considered a tomb in which the baptized one's old history is ended. Since the death of Christ is included in Christ, and since Christ is the very embodiment of the triune God, and the triune God eventually is one with the body of Christ, to baptize new believers into the death of Christ, into Christ himself, into the triune God, and into the body of Christ is to do just one thing. On the negative side, to terminate their old life, and on the positive side, to germinate them with new life, the eternal life of the triune God for the body of Christ. Hence the baptism ordained by the Lord here baptizes people out of their life into the body life for the kingdom of the heavens. Isn't this wonderful, brothers and sisters? How rich and significant is the matter of baptism? As it says in the note, baptism has two aspects. The outward, visible aspect, which is our testimony, and the inward reality, the invisible aspect. We need both. We need both. We do need the reality. Without the reality, the outward testimony is just to be in water. It's just to get wet. But with the inward reality, oh, what we're practicing to be immersed in the water. We see that picture that we are, it's as if we're being put into a tomb, joined with the death of Christ. And then we are pulled up and raised in resurrection. But in another sense, when we are immersed in the water, we are being put into the triune God. It's very significant that in nature, there are only two things, two matters, that they can be in us and we can be in them at the same time. And one of these is air. Of course, we're in the air, in the atmosphere, and the air is in us. We breathe. But also with water. We can be immersed in water, and then we drink the water. We take the water in. This picture shows that we have taken in the Lord by calling on Him, so He is in us, but we also need to be put into the water, into the triune God. That is the testimony of our baptism. So baptism, through baptism, we are immersed in the triune God. And this is our reality. Wherever we are in our daily life, we are in God. We are in the triune God. Then in Galatians 3:27, it says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Not only we were put into the triune God, but Christ Himself is the embodiment of the triune God. So surely to be put in the triune God is to be put into Christ. Brothers and sisters, did you realize baptism puts you in Christ, into Christ? And now we can put on Christ. Or actually in our baptism, we did put on Christ. You could say we're wearing Christ. When you go to school, you don't go to school unclothed. You don't go to school without protection. You go to school clothed in Christ. This is our reality. This is the significance of baptism. Then in Romans 6, we see another aspect. Here I'd like to read verses 3 through 5 in Romans 6. "Or are you ignorant that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? We have been buried, therefore, with Him through baptism into His death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so also we might walk in newness of life. For if we have grown together with Him in the likeness of His death, indeed, we will also be in the likeness of His resurrection." Brothers and sisters, I hope that you could pick up a number of things here from this section. It not only talks about baptism, it talks about burial, death, resurrection, walking in newness of life, and growing together with Christ. Did you know that there is such an organic aspect to our baptism, an aspect of baptism that affects our daily living? When we are baptized into Christ, that means we are joined with Him, and everything that He experienced becomes ours, including His death and His resurrection. So, when someone is immersed in the water, when they are put into the water, That is their testimony, that they are one with Christ in his death. Christ died and was buried. I also am buried with Christ. I died with Christ, so I am buried with Christ. But Christ was resurrected, and he was raised. So when we come up out of the water, that is our testifying that we are one with Christ in his resurrection. Therefore, since we are in the resurrection of Christ, we can have a new walk. Our old living remains buried in the water, and we can have a walk in newness of life. Brothers and sisters, our baptism is crucial for our growth in life. And actually, our growth in life begins with our baptism. In regeneration, when we accept the Lord, when we say we're saved, we call on the Lord, we confess that we are sinners and we receive him, the seed of life comes into our heart, into our spirit. But through our baptism, we are joined to him. That seed of life coming into us brings us into an organic union with the Lord. And this baptism strengthens this organic union so that we can have a daily walk with the Lord in his life. That's why in Romans 6:5 it says, we have grown together with him in the likeness of his death. Then we also are in the likeness of his resurrection. So you see, baptism is not merely an outward testimony. Baptism, when done in a proper, genuine way, it strengthens our growth in life and in a sense begins our journey in the growth in life. And finally, in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, for also in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and were all given to drink one spirit. Brothers and sisters, by being baptized into the triune God, into Christ, and into his death, we are also baptized into the body of Christ. We are joined to the body. We are never alone. What a wonderful reality that baptism brings us into a relationship with the body of Christ. This really is a wonderful reality. Did you realize that you are no longer merely a believer, merely an individual believer, but you are now a member? Baptism joins us to the body. Brothers and sisters, it is a reality. We are members of the body of Christ. But in this verse, there's one additional precious point. Here we see that through baptism, we are positioned to drink the Spirit. As I mentioned before, there are only a few things in nature that we can be in them and they can be in us. And one of them is water. And here, the picture is that we are put into the triune God as our living water. And now we are positioned to drink all the time. Of course, in the physical realm, you can't do this. You're put into the water and then you shouldn't drink that water. But in the spiritual realm, that's the reality. We are put into God now all the time, wherever we are. We can just drink the Spirit. We can just call on him, open to him, and drink him all the time. And when we do, we have the reality of baptism. We are separated from the world. We've crossed that separating line. We are one with the triune God. We are one with Christ. We're one with his death and resurrection. And we are one with his body. Drinking the Spirit brings us the reality of baptism and the significance of baptism. And in 1 Corinthians 12, there's a marvelous footnote in the Recovery Version, note 13:5, on drinking. It says to be baptized in the Spirit is to get into the Spirit and to be lost in Him. To drink the Spirit is to take the Spirit in and to have our being saturated with Him. By these two procedures, we are mingled with the Spirit. To be baptized in the Spirit is the initiation of the mingling and is once for all. To drink the Spirit is the continuation and accomplishment of the mingling and is perpetual forever. This requires us to call on the Lord continually and draw water with joy from Him as the fountain of living water. Oh, brothers and sisters, isn't baptism wonderful? Isn't baptism rich? Baptism is not just an outward practice, but it is an important testimony, and it has deep, rich significance, and there is behind it a spiritual reality that we must experience every day. And the way to experience such a reality is merely by calling on the Lord and drinking Him as the Spirit. Oh, I hope that if we are not yet baptized, we could be baptized. Oh, immediately we should be baptized to have such a testimony. And for those of us that are baptized, I hope that this fellowship would refresh you in your own baptism, in the reality of baptism, and would strengthen you to live in that reality. Thank the Lord for this marvelous experience of baptism. Oh Lord, we love you. Oh Lord, thank you for the significance of baptism. Lord, guide us to live in the significance and reality of our baptism every day by drinking you as the Spirit, by calling on you. Oh Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, please make your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For ageturners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.